Welcome to the latest episode of Apple at Work, a podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. I'm Bradley Chambers, your host. As always, this week, my special guest is Naveen Pichandi from VMware. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
What exactly is your role at VMware?
Yeah, so I lead the product management team for all things Apple on the end user computing side for device management. So everything under the Apple umbrella for what we do on iOS, macOS, and tvOS.
Yeah, VMware obviously does and has a number of products, and it's a company that there's probably not many organizations that don't do something with VMware, some kind of business with VMware. How long has, you know, obviously VMware is most known for a lot of the virtualization technology in the enterprise and it's in a server world. Then obviously VMware Fusion has been a very popular app on the Mac for many years to virtualize Windows on the Mac, and not just Windows, but other operating systems as well. How long have you been at VMware, and how did you get kind of started in the Apple part of it?
So yeah, definitely. I know VMware definitely has a lot of history on the Mac platform. Obviously, we've had Fusion for a lot of years, and we've had Horizon. They're each with different functionality per se. One just runs a virtualized VM or a virtualized machine on the machine itself, the host machine itself, and another just streams it from a data center. Most of my history is from the device management side, which is on the physical device itself for folks who know AirWatch back in the day. We started our journey on the mobile side and managed iOS devices around the globe, added Android and a few other mobile platforms, and then ventured into some of the desktop platforms. So I joined AirWatch, I guess, 7.5 years ago. And that's pretty much how I came into the VMware family through that acquisition. And so I've been working on a lot of the mobile stuff with iOS, and transitioned over and took over our Mac platform a few years ago. And we've been ramping up the Mac platform since then. So most of the work that I do is part of the Workspace ONE product, as part of the end user computing family. So anything that you see with device management on the physical device layer, that's all mostly my team.
Yeah, and obviously VMware, like you said, has done a lot with macOS over the years, and really how companies have managed the Mac has really shifted a lot. In the early days, when the Mac was becoming popular in the enterprise, really post iPhone, a lot of it was like, onesie twosie, like how do we best do this? And most companies' infrastructure was heavily built around Windows. And so there is this decision organizations have to make. Like, do we want to get pick a vendor that only works the Mac and and you kind of almost build two sets of infrastructures, or do you want to do something that kind of helps you manage all platforms? And there's probably not one company that, most large companies don't just have PCs, don't just have Macs anymore. And it's really this environment where it's, you have to work with all of them. And I really think that the rise of cloud services has made this a lot easier for companies, because they no longer have to worry about how do we make sure our applications work everywhere, because now most things are on the web. And so I think that the thing is more, how do you secure the devices? How do you manage them? How do you make sure you're getting updates? So what kind of trends is VMware seeing in the enterprise, specifically on the Mac side, in the past, past 12 months?
Yeah, I think you put it really well, right? So back in the days, when you think about just Mac management or just users of Mac in the enterprise, it was few and far in between, right? There was just this trifecta group, or either be exec designers or some developers who had to have, or rather could have a Mac. And others were typically given a Windows machine, and that's all they could even choose. There was really no choice in that option too. And that's changed a whole lot. So, and just because of this nature, there were either certain organizations which had a lot of Macs, with an entire company of Macs, and so they knew the know-how to go manage these devices. And the others just looked at it as a foreign object in some senses, right? And so that sort of shifted over the years. And there were a lot more companies. And as startups boomed, obviously, and the workforce of millennials came in, people started choosing Macs, and that sort of naturally made its way in. You could think of sort of drawing parallels in some way with what iOS did in the enterprise space on the mobile side too, right? And so if you just look at that trend, we've come a long way from then, right? And so I almost have a call every day with customers who are thinking about ramping up their Mac management options with them, just because they say, hey, a lot of our users are wanting to have a Mac. And so I guess our Mac fleet's going to grow 100%, 150% over the next 2 to 3 years. We need to be ready when there are more Macs coming into the system, right? And we try to extrapolate that data. So if you look at just the hardware, the PC shipment over the last year, right? It's been one of the best Mac lineups that we've ever had with M1s, right? And I know users who even never used a Mac before are now interested in the Mac. And if you just look at the data, it clearly shows PC market grew 32%. And sure, there were some supply chain issues and semiconductor shortages, which made that number look larger. But when you look at it from a relative sense, Apple grew 48% globally and 54% in US. That just shows that Apple's been beating the market with its just PC shipments. And I'm sure M1 Max have a lot to do with those numbers. Users absolutely love it. And if you were to just slice that data with just the enterprise numbers, I can guarantee you that's pretty high too. And so it's pretty clear that Mac is making a lot more inroads into enterprises, and users want to have a Mac and want to work on it. That's definitely one trend that we organically do see more Macs in the enterprise. And I guess the second trend isn't something that I need to speak about. I'm sure everybody knows it's everything is remote right now. And so every organization is simply looking at, now how do I onboard this user? How do I get them everything that they need? Now, how do I operate in this anywhere workspace, right? I need to be able to create a workspace for this employee anywhere that they need. Speaking personally, I literally onboarded a person on my team who I've still not met in person, and she just got a Mac overnight shipped over to her. She unboxed it, and she's been working ever since with that. And so I think that fundamental change to remote work, even if it dials back a little bit once offices open up, is the new reality and something that all organizations are going to have to used to, and they're going to want to be able to give these Macs, drop ship it. And we've been talking about drop shipping, zero touch for a long time. This is like the litmus test to make sure that this is built so well enough for truly making this sort of zero touch work, in the sense of literally drop ship it to user, they unbox it and they start working from there.
This week's episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by DevonThink3. Using our special link in the show notes, you can get a 10% discount on DevonThink. Now, so we all have this problem of digital clutter in our computing environments today. We have almost an infinite amount of storage and places to put things. The problem is it's hard to find it, and it's hard to organize it, and it's hard to find it later and to search it. It's all of the above. It's like we have a digital hoarding problem. The great thing is DevonThink and DevonThink To Go solves this problem. It's a document and information management solution for Mac and iOS. It's one place to store all your documents, your snippets, code, bookmarks, anything you're working on. Now, here's the cool thing. OCR makes it possible to search inside your documents. It has integrated AI on the Mac to assist you with filing and searching, has extensive search language support as well. Now, smart rules and flexible reminders let you automate all parts of your workflow and delegate the boring repeating tasks to the computer. That's great. So you can let DevonThink automatically organize your life using the rules you define. Has flexible sync supporting many cloud services or synchronizing over your local network so everything is secure. Now, everything in the cloud sync is securely encrypted so your data is always safe. Of course, there's so much more, from email archiving, scanning, to an embedded web server for sharing your data securely with colleagues or coworkers. And there is a brand new iOS version that's recently released with a modernized UI, OCR, shortcut support, and more. Again, all this sounds interesting, you get a 10% discount for listening to Apple at Work. So you can go to devontechnologies.com/Apple at Work, or you can click the link in the show notes. Again, that's devontechnologies.com/Apple at Work for a 10% discount. Thanks to Devin Think for sponsoring this week's episode of Apple at Work.
Zero, I've said this on Pat's episode, zero touch is really one of these technologies, workflows that we always aspired to, but now it's mission critical with remote work. I mean, remote IT is very hard. There's just a lot of complications to it. And it will obviously be after this show airs, but I'm speaking on a panel or speaking in front of a hearing next week over Zoom for a school district in DC about basically how hard remote work and virtual learning is. And, you know, the comment they made to me was, like, look, we have free Wi-Fi to the students' homes. We gave them devices, but things still didn't work well. And I said, because you're only focusing on half the solution. What kind of devices are there? Where in the house are they? How far does the Wi-Fi reach? If they're into multi-dwelling units, how is there a lot of RF interference? And, I think one of the things that organizations are seeing is devices are not all devices are created equal. And certainly the Mac is more of a premium device than a budget PC. But I think two things for me. Number one, the ROI on the Mac, just straight dollars, is very, very good. I mean, generally I can spend $1,000 on the Mac, put it through its paces for 4 years and sell it back and get 30% back of the cost. I mean, obviously you're not buying these things as an investment, but being able to recoup some of that investment is very, very great. And number two, hardware quality on the Mac is really good. And when I think about trends in the workplace, like remote work, getting back to traveling, people need devices that are reliable. And like you said, M1 Max, but it's astounding how good they are. And obviously we should always say, like, my current computer is the best one I've ever owned, because you would like to think you're not going backward with computing quality. But the M1 MacBook Air I have, it is my favorite computer of all time. I literally have no complaints about it. And I think what we're seeing is, I liken it to the carpenter wants to use the drill they're most comfortable with. And people and their technology are being very personal, and they spend so much time with it, they want to use what they're comfortable with. People are comfortable on Macs. They like Macs. Just as if people that like PCs want to be on PCs. And so I think it's awesome that organizations are having this choice. But on the flip side, that does create complications in management. But I do think Apple has done a good job here of really leaning into what enterprise IT departments need. Now, again, their APIs are not perfect. There are things they can make better. There are changes in each operating system that make it in some ways more difficult. But I do think Apple has their eye on making things secure while also easy to manage.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I think what's more clear there is I don't think we're all there yet. And there are still things that we need to work on. Obviously, Apple can help us with some APIs, and we as vendors can do a little more and make this super simple for IT, and not just IT, and the security team as well, right? But directionally, it's right, and it's there. And I was almost thinking, what if this had happened 6 years ago, right, in 2013, where there was no concept of DEP, you had to go set up a device before you ship it to a user and things like that. It seems more natural just because of how many years that we've worked with on device enrollment program with Apple Business Manager and things like that. This comes a little more like, oh, yeah, this is there. This can solve this problem, and we've done this for a while. But we still got a lot more to do, and this is not an easy solution overall for anybody to just quickly get on and get it done on the first day. But I think most organizations that I've worked with who had to go and pivot this in a short period of time have done a phenomenal job. And I think Satya Nadella, whoever sort of said this, where a lot of the digital transformation that usually takes years to happen have happened in a matter of months. And we've seen Apple sort of push this motion of, hey, move to device enrollment program with Apple Business Manager and sort of get into that motion for a while. And it is possible that the remote work scenario that we're in right now could have accelerated that in a lot of organizations and for the good. And there have been this sort of economy of a lot of tools, and be it open source or other tools that have been created to sort of enhance that experience over time too. So it definitely is a great opportunity. Of course, the Mac admin community is a phenomenal community that I've spoken about even during my other conferences and things. It's just so inspiring to watch them sort of go ahead and find some of those niche problems that clearly need improvement. And then sometimes they catch on to that, build a tool even before some of us as vendors look at it and be like, oh snap, like that looks phenomenal. Like we should have done that. It's truly, truly inspiring and exciting to be in this field.
I think the Mac admin comment is very astute. And, you know, Mac admins community is great, the official Mac admins community, but also just like the general as a whole. I think one of the things that helps the Mac admin community is we don't have as many device types to deal with. Like with PCs, there are 1,000 different drivers and that combination of it. And having fewer variables for an IT person is really just very, 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 very useful. So what kind of trends are you all seeing in the like device workflow, Mac versus iPad? I mean, that's been the discussion for years. It's like, does the iPad ever take over as like a primary computing tool for people in the workplace? I have my opinions that I think they're are jobs that lend themselves well to the iPad, certainly things in the field, but I personally don't find the iPad to be comfortable to use for long periods of time, like I'd be sitting at a desk. But again, everybody has their own opinion there. Do you all see any trends there on, you know, if some businesses were going, you know, iPad only?
That's actually a good question. This is something that we started looking at, if I'm not wrong, there were like two and a half years ago when Apple introduced the whole Files app into the system. And I think there were some studies that just said, if you look at the single core performance of an iPad Pro, it was in some cases faster than a majority of these PCs out there. I think it also beat the MacBook Air in some cases too. So it was a very interesting trend, and we've been sort of watching that for a while. And I do have a couple sort of Fortune 100 companies and some pharmaceuticals who entirely moved their sales force over to an iPad from a Windows laptop. And that was purely because of how it was actually cheaper for them overall. The total cost of ownership at the end of the day was better for them on an iPad, just because of the extra antivirus and all the other software that they had to lay on top of their Windows PC was all cut, and you didn't have to do that. And the iPad was way more mobile for them, and of course saved a ton of space in their baggage when they had to go travel and things like that. And so that is a trend I think that's probably accelerated ever since. When I last spoke to them, this was in 2019 when they were going down this motion. And I'm sure now with the newer iPad Pros, and of course I'm super excited about the M1 iPad Pro. I haven't touched it yet, but I do know it's blazing fast. I do see a lot of these roles, like you mentioned, sort of move slowly over to the iPad. And there's a good blend there. Right? The performance obviously has been amazing for years. But now with what we're seeing with the app ecosystem, it's getting a lot more richer. Of course, the iOS app ecosystem is extremely rich, and we know that for sure. But when we now slowly start seeing this sort of a blend with Catalyst and universal apps that can run on both an iOS device and a Mac, I'm curious to see if there's going to be app developers who are going to be a lot more creative in the way that they create these apps. And it'll obviously be more beneficial on the Mac side for sure. But I do think that with the M1 chip, there's going to be a lot more interest in the iPads. And we'll just have to wait and see. This was sort of an interest that peaked, like I said, a couple of years ago. I haven't seen a whole lot of movement that side, but I do expect more now with the M1 chip and the iPad. So we'll have to continue seeing there. But for this WWDC, I'm super excited to see what more we're going to learn about Catalyst, and I believe it's the third iteration. And we'll be interesting to see what the cross section between sort of the M1 iPad OS and Macs are going to look like too. I'm sure that sort of a blend is going to get closer, And it's pretty clear that Apple's not trying to fuse those two things together in an inorganic fashion. Macs are for power users, and that's pretty clear. Well, iPad is for power users in some senses too, but there are clear boundaries that make it an iPad, right? And all the clickbaity, some of the with the headlines, but with the recent news of stuff that Craig Federighi said, it's pretty clear to call that clear distinction between how an iOS device functions versus a Mac and the sort of the responsibility that typical users sort of have when they use a Mac, right? And I think that will continue to stay, and those do show clear benefits for why you could have an iPad and be a truly powerful device at the end of the day.
And I even wonder, too, if one of the trends we start seeing in the enterprise with iPad is like a virtual desktop interface, obviously with the mouse support, it's really, really nice. And if, you know, there are certain things you need to do in a desktop OS that companies, you know, basically roll out VDI, virtual desktop interface / VDI for, use an iPad for signing contracts when I'm in the field working with customers, but then I can basically one click and I'm in front of a Windows desktop or I'm in front of a Mac desktop that's really, really fast, fully featured. And hey, who knows? Maybe we'll even get a day when a Windows or VM or a Mac can be emulated on an iPad. That would certainly be something.
Yeah. That'll definitely sort of pique a lot of geek interest for sure. But I mean, I'll speak personally, right? I know I work for a company that does virtualization as its core business, but I use three devices. I use my iPhone whenever I'm walking around. And typically when I'm in the office, my Mac is always plugged into my monitor, and when I have to go for meetings and things, I take my iPad Pro, my 12-inch iPad Pro. Absolutely love it, and it's got the magic keyboard, and that's really what I use to take notes, and if I have to just sit somewhere else and work, that's what I use. And obviously it runs with Workspace ONE, so I can access all my apps across all these devices for sure. And we do have certain apps that you need to run virtually. If you need to run Visio and things, we run it with Horizon. And those are the only times, I'll be frank, would I ever really kick off any sort of a virtual session. I don't ever really run any other remote desktops, or forbid, I'd never open sort of a Windows environment on my iPad. While it's still functional, it's still powerful, it can handle it. But I still do think, I guess you get one of the best experiences out there if you sort of had it converted over in some sense. And I have seen most companies already do that. There are very, very few apps that are still sort of requiring Internet Explorer or you really need to be on a Windows machine to access or run it. I think that sort of use case will slowly dwindle and it'll be a pure exception. How long it'll take there, it'll be curious. I almost feel like it'll be a forced function over time. But the majority of folks who are thinking of sort of using iPad as a primary or almost like a sort of primary device at the end of the day are looking to use it for all the richness that you get with that native apps and with SaaS apps too. Because I mean, at VMware, if you just look at it internally, we have over 300 SaaS apps, and getting single sign-on access to all of them, just using them, I absolutely love the iPad for that, right? It's super quick and there's no boot up, none of that. I pick it up and unlock it and I'm on to work immediately. And so, yeah, that'll be interesting to see. And I guess if we were to talk again in a year from now, we'll probably talk a lot more about the iPad too. And with the M1 chip, I don't think anyone's really looked at it as in depth as it should be. And I'm really, really looking forward to see what we're going to hear at WWDC.
Yeah, I think that's a great kind of way to sum it up. This WWDC has a lot of excitement around iPadOS and the enterprise and you know, whatever MDM base we get. So Cannot wait. It's always a fun season just to see what kind of new widgets and knobs we'll have when managing Apple in the enterprise we'll have coming this fall. Naveen, thanks for coming on the show. We'll have some links to some things about VMware and its Mac offerings and iPad as well, all of its Apple offerings in the show notes. So check that out. And we appreciate you coming on the show. And we'll have you on again this summer after WWDC, and we can talk about what's new.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on.